This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready. Hold on to your nipples.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty Show and Psycho T, a.k.a. T. Mill, have the latest. And the latest is, it is a little 5 o'clock fire. And remember, coming up in this segment, in this particular segment, your chance to win a four-pack of tickets to see John Pardee coming up March 13th, Thursday, Houston Rodeo. You will have that opportunity. You have to listen, wait for the cue to call. You will hear that cue, and then at that moment, make your call, and you'll have a chance to win a four-pack of tickets. Let's start here, Clint. The Rockets, they are back at it tonight. They host the Milwaukee Bucks, one of the better teams in the East. That means Giannis and company. They will not have Bobby Portis, but they will have Giannis and the rest of the gang there as well to face the Rockets. And the Rockets, they are 1-1, had a good game and a tough game since they've started coming back from the All-Star break. Big one tonight. They do have they are favored -3.5 tonight against the Bucks. But this does feel like a bigger game because, Clint, we've seen a lot of teams in the West make moves, and a lot of teams in the West appear to be surging. The Lakers, who are now tied with them, they play the Mavericks tonight. If this thing goes a certain way, the Rockets could fall into the 5 seed. And the Warriors, who are another team that is surging and coming up, they're 5-1 since they acquired Jimmy Butler. This is starting to get big here for the Rockets, and they need to start putting together some wins again.
Yeah, look, I mean, you got to figure this thing out, and I don't know how you do it when you're playing back to backs consistently throughout the 27, 28 games that they've got left. I mean, it's hard.
Three
to,
in a row.
It's hard to accomplish that when you're so dependent on everybody being healthy. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. One guy being out, two guys being out, just completely changes the complex of the team, if you will. So this being the game after a rest day, a travel day, a day to get back to some level of norm, I would expect the Rockets play well tonight. We'll see. But to your point, yeah, I said this at the All-Star break. I think it's at the time the Lakers were behind them, at the time that they were playing Minnesota coming fresh out of the All-Star break. That's a team that was in the playoffs last year, made a good run. You got Golden State, as you mentioned. They acquired Jimmy Butler. Can they make a run and catch the Houston Rockets? You got some teams with some pelts on the wall, if you will, that are chasing the Rockets. Can the Rockets fend them off? Can the Rockets hold on and stay up in that, you know, top five seed? Or do they let those other teams catch them? We'll see.
I think a big one tonight is something we've been waiting on and watching. He's been a game-time decision the first two games coming back from the All-Star break, and Fred VanVleet still has not suited up and played yet. It's his birthday today. Maybe they've been sitting here waiting for him to return on his birthday. But, you know, you got Damian Lillard coming in. You know, obviously one of the better guards in the NBA.
Yep.
This will be big. That's what I want to see, is I just want to see them get him back to just settle things. Obviously, this is not, you know, he's not a star for this team, but clearly very, very valuable for this team. And and we talked about the up and down nature. I think he has a lot to do with it. That's the big thing to watch right now. He is still listed as a game time decision to see if he can go in with that ankle again. Since he has had that injury, they've lost seven games. They're 3-7 right now, and kind of falling down a bit in the standings. They were the 2 seed when he got hurt, and now if the Lakers win and they lose, they could be the 5 seed to Milwaukee. So Fred is a big, big one to watch for tonight.
Young team. They play fast. They play out of control at times. They're one of the more physical teams in the league. It only makes sense that a guy like Fred VanVleet, again, a dude with some pelts on the wall, a true point guard that can control the floor, it only makes sense that that guy's going to have a major impact on a group that plays the way that the Rockets play, a group that's as young as the Rockets are, a group that without Fred VanVleet, they just don't have the point guard. They don't have the guy that can slow the pace and steady the waters. Getting him back is going to be huge. I'm with you. The more we talk about it before his return, you know, the bigger it becomes.
Yeah. That's tonight. Tonight, big one at Toyota. They will host. The Milwaukee Bucks. Good team. So it's a good test, and we'll see if Fred's able to go tonight. All right. Let's hit it.
5 o'clock fire.
I want to sweep you off your feet tonight.
There it is. Here it is right now. That is, and this is your cue to call. John Pardee tickets, 4-pack of tickets coming up right now. Caller number 5 in honor of Fred VanVleet. Hopefully he is back. Caller number 5, you will have your chance, 713-572-4610, for a 4-pack of tickets to see John Pardee coming up. Houston Rodeo, March 13th. That's a Thursday night, March 13th. Caller number 5, 713-572-4610. The phone lines are open. Tyler will take care of you. John Pardee, right there. You're hearing him right there. You got a chance to win those tickets.
A lot of hits. That's going to be a hell of a show, man. John, I mean,
he was here last year, right?
Maybe last year or year before.
I believe so. Maybe. I remember.
He's right there in his prime, boy. He's been going at it for a while. He's got a number of hits, man. He's got enough to keep the crowd singing along and probably mix in a little new stuff. But he's got enough established music that it's going to be one hell of a show. This is one I might go to, boys. This is one I might put in a couple of requests for right here. I don't think I've ever seen John Pardee live.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think I realized how many hits he had until I was, you know, just digging through one day. I was like, damn, this is, if he's only going to play for an hour and 15 minutes at the rodeo, I'd imagine there's not a song that
he's got
country music
hit.
Fans don't know.
Yeah. All right. Right now, caller number 5, Tyler will take care of you. 4-pack of tickets to see John Pardee coming up March 13th, Thursday at the rodeo. Wyndham tickets. Last ones of the day.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, you heard us talk a little bit to Seth and Sean as they were there, as they caught the game today. As the Astros, they do win 8-5. If you're just jumping in to your cars, and there was a lot to go there. Our guy Ronel O'Neill, he got lit up a little bit, 5 runs, a homer. And he gave that up in an inning and a third. But hey, it's spring training. You know, they're working on things. Not a big deal.
Hope that's the case.
Yep. Victor got, he went deep.
Garrett
went deep in this game. So some good things happened. Christian Walker got a hit, scored 2 runs in this game. But the big story out of the game is Cam Smith. He came over in that big trade that included Paredes, that included Kyle Tucker, and he went deep. He went deep twice. Opposite field home runs. Our guy Adam Spillane caught up with him in the clubhouse. This is Cam Smith on his day-to-day.
I can't even describe it, but it feels like the best feeling in the world. It's a blessing just to get opportunities to get in there, whether you're starting the game, whether you're getting the back half of the game. It's just to see that caliber of pitching this early, it's huge as a ball player.
All right, that is Cam Smith, two home runs. And when you look at him and you see, you know, just how he is put together, opposite field home runs are not a shock. He has been he's been to the plate four times, Clint, in spring training. Two walks, two bombs. That is what he has done. And this is a player that a lot of people are excited about, a player that I believe Dana Brown really wanted to get in this deal, and you can see why early.
Playing college ball a year ago, man. He's obviously fast-tracked to the point he's at today. And look, I don't want to put the cart before the horse because it's a couple of days of spring training here. But, it seems promising. And he's going to be fun to watch because, as you mentioned, he's an absolute horse.
Yeah.
I mean, he is built like a defensive end, 6'3", 225. It's put together the right way. And if he can swing it as well as he swung it today, I mean, obviously that was an absolute monster day with two bombs. But if he can swing it anywhere remotely close to the way he swung it today consistently, it's just a matter of time before he's in the bigs. And we're talking about Cam Smith at third base and not as worried about Bregman.
Yeah, we'll see about that. But he did put together a great day. And this is a fun start. And this is, I would say, let's not get too, at least from the Astros' perspective, let's not, as you said, go crazy here. Let's let him, whatever the plan was to me, unless he continues to do something to just say, we got to throw this out the window, be patient with him, let him do his thing. As obviously we know baseball is an up-and-down game, but make sure he's ready whenever you use him. Also news coming from the captain, Joe Espada. Jose Altuve will play left field coming up towards the end of this week. Hopefully our guys there will be able to catch him. Sean, Seth, Adam, and Parker, hopefully they'll be able to catch Jose Altuve in left field. But we do have a time date. Also, Yordan Alvarez and Jeremy Pena, who have not played yet. Spencer. They will make their debuts on Thursday. As things get rocking and rolling. But the Jose Altuve in left field, that is one everybody, I would imagine, is waiting to see. And as we talked about earlier, ain't no way that ball ain't going to find it. Ain't no way.
Probably first batter.
You think first batter? I'd say the first two innings he's going to find some.
I hope. Can't wait, baby.
I want to go track
one. I want to see him track one in the game.
Yeah, go track one down. Go track one down.
Little man with the big glove.
There it is, with the big stick, too.
Really, really happy.
5 o'clock fire.
I meant Bat. Bat, he's obviously one of the...
Yeah, that's right.
But he's got some girth.
I don't know what he has there, Tyler May.
I just meant more ounces than maybe most his size with the bat, dude.
Yep, still being nasty. All right. we know the combine is happening. We'll talk about some of the things D'Amico had to say coming up the rest of the show. But Chiefs GM Brett Veach was there, and he kind of broke a little news saying he expects Travis Kelce to play in 2025, stating that he was fired up about being here at the scouting combine, and he believes that he is going to play. They said there's no timetable on his decision, but that has been a big conversation piece. Have we seen the last of Travis Kelce? And I'm sorry, he's 35. Yes, he has slowed down a bit to the tune of 97 catches in just under 900 yards in 16 games. But it's hard for me to see him want to end his career on that. And not just the game in particular. It was one of the worst games he's probably had in his life. So to me, I would be stunned, to be honest with you, if Travis Kelce was just going to hang it up.
Yeah, I think he plays as well, but I'm going to tell you, man, most guys, you know, that at that age, they've already, you know, they've already either married or married and divorced or have a kid, have family kind of deal and have been through that. I don't know. You look at Taylor Swift, and she's getting older. And
oh no, he's got to put a ring on. Well, that's got to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I could just like very rarely do you see a guy's situation and go, yeah, I could see where that guy could probably. It would probably be good for him to walk away right now. I see where he could be at peace with it. I could see where Travis Kelce could say, man, I'm done. I'm going to hang this thing up. But I could also see, to your point, he's the kind of probably wants to go out with a Super Bowl, at least on a personal note, go out with a 1,000-yard season, go out with a monster season.
Yeah, he did in his last game.
But I bet this is a tougher decision than one would think.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's like – retirement for old Travis Kelce, if he plays his cards right, is going to be a little different than retirement for most folks.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's probably always there.
Yeah.
Right? And I think he plays, it's probably more. And you know it, man. You on that kind of winning train a little bit, man?
Yeah, I'm with you. It's hard to walk away from that right there.
It's kind of hard to walk away from that thing. So that is the latest there with him.
Clock fire.
Oh, I knew this could be easy. Fellas, we know Myles Garrett wrote that lovely letter talking about his wishes to be traded. And the Cleveland Browns GM states he does not plan on trading Myles Garrett.
Hmm.
And I don't know if he's just just saying this. But, Clint, I just don't think with the Cleveland Browns this thing's just going to go easy. I don't know, I think Myles Garrett, and I don't think he, and Tyler, you know him better than I do from his days at A&M. I don't know if Myles has it in him to really make this uncomfortable and to really do things that may put him in the bad guy way.
Nice guy.
But if he wants to get this thing done, he might have to get a little messy.
Mm-hmm.
Like he might have to just, you know, I mean, just skip all these practices. He may have to, yeah. I mean, we'll see.
And this is a situation where I believe if I was him, I'd do it. I'd get my ass up out of Cleveland, man. Cleveland's like Saquon, man. And now, obviously, New York looks like, it wasn't that New York let Saquon go, but it's that they just plum ass look silly doing it.
Saquon! Like,
Cleveland could make a move here and sell it as a rebuild move and to recoup a bunch of draft capital that you had to give up when you traded for Deshaun Watson. You got to get cheaper because of that Deshaun Watson contract that's on the books for another at least year or two.
Get draft picks.
I mean, so you could sell this and spin this thing as a, hey, it makes sense for both parties. But sitting here playing hardball with a guy and trying to handcuff a guy to your organization when your organization has been absolute trash, has been dysfunctional in every sense of the phrase for way too long now. I think that's a tough look, man.
Yeah, we'll see how this I feel like is going to be a story that we're talking about throughout the offseason is what are they going to do? Are they going to make this thing easy? Are they going to just be hard asses and say no.
Stop being a dumpster fire.
We are not trading you. You're going to be a Brown for life. We'll see what happens. All right. D'Amico Ryans made a comment about a very, very big position of need with the Texans. And with that comment, it maybe kind of opened up the door to see exactly how different this team's going to be from last year to this year. We'll discuss that coming up next.
I don't give a mother duck.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Report from The Chronicle, Danielle Lerner. Fred Van Fleet is out for the Rockets tonight. Dylan Brooks is available, and Jayshon Tate is testing out his back, but will likely play.
That's not a very happy birthday.
Per Ime Udoka, Tari Eason will start and Jabari Smith Jr. will come off the bench. My auntie used to say bench. Will come off the bench. Same as how Rockets dealt with it the last back-to-backs. So,
let's go Rockets.
There will be no Fred tonight.
No Fred on his birthday.
No Fred on his birthday. And hopefully he'll kick it.
Hopefully he kicked it last night.
Yeah. Hopefully, man. or to the fans. He was getting treatment 24/7.
Yeah, that's right.
But he was, hopefully he was. But so that is the latest. Fred is out. Tari Eason back in. He will start. Jabari Smith coming off the bench. Jason Tate looks like he won't, or he will be likely to play as well. So that's the Rockets as they take on the Bucks later on today. All right, we should hear a lot this week. I'm sure we'll hear from Nick Caserio as well as the combine is rolling on. D'Amico, he spoke today, and in particular, he spoke about wide receivers. And as we have talked about, that is most definitely a spot on this team that is a priority and something that they are going to be looking to add to this team, probably both in free agency and in the draft. Here was D'Amico Ryans, the head coach, talking in particular about smaller wide receivers.
Receivers under 170 pounds just need to be fast. So a guy like myself can't hit you. So, but speed is the redeeming quality. I think for smaller receivers, you having that speed, the quickness, especially those guys who are in that slot receiver position, like them being matched up on a lesser cover player, the nickel position, right? They can really make a ton of plays in the game just by utilizing their quickness.
All right. You heard him talking about slot receivers, smaller receivers. And that took your brain where, Clint?
Well, I tell you, it really got me to thinking about the difference between the Texans' offense last year when Bobby Slowick was building, creating, designing, and calling plays to what Nick Caley's offense, what I expect it to look like, right? I realize I'm taking D'Amico Ryans' comments, and really it got my wheels turning, got me to thinking about the Texans, right? And last year under Bobby, it's all my receivers know everything. Everybody can play every position, and everybody's interchangeable, and we need everybody to first and foremost be able to block, and we're going to cut our splits, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that, right? These comments about specific slot receivers skill sets and those matchups got me thinking too, because I don't think D'Amico just pulls stuff out of left field. I think there's obviously been conversations about this. This gets me to a spot where I think Nick Caley's offense is going to be different than Bobby Slowick's. We mentioned several things yesterday. I just see the Texans offense, instead of being that all receivers do all things, I think next year you're going to see a little bit more of specialized pass catchers. Think back to the New England days with Brady. There was always a Julian Edelman. There was always a Wes Welker, right? There was always a true slot receiver.
That's what the whites used to do.
And I know when you find a Gronk, you say that is exactly what they were, all white, and they usually, the little white guy finds a way to fit in there at the slot receiver position. But you know, you can't always go out and find a Gronkowski who can put his hand in the dirt and block and do all those things, right? You can year in, year out find a smaller body. You can, what D'Amico Ryans just described, a smaller bodied wide receiver that's not going to be on the outside. His strengths and his abilities is not about pushing DBs deep, running comebacks and running deep post routes and going up, climbing the ladder and catching the ball. His strengths are in the slot. I'm going to see pressure the same way that the quarterback sees pressure, and I'm always going to be in the slot on the right or the left of the quarterback, and at any point in time, I'm his security blanket. I'm seeing exactly what he's seeing. Get me the football. I'm going to be an outlet. I'm going to keep the quarterback from getting hit. A true slot receiver that's always inside, tight to the quarterback in some form or fashion. Now, always is a long time. The majority of the time, he's in there in their basic sets, being that outlet for the quarterback. I think with Nick Caley's offense, I think we're going to see a handful of things that look significantly different from Bobby Slowick's. Right, but I think one of those things is, it's not going to shock me one bit if there is a true slot receiver in this offense that's relied upon heavily.
Did you get a sense that was problematic the last 2 years in terms of hey, Nico, you may play the boundary receiver, you may play in the slot, you may, like, did you get a sense that that was problematic for what the guys were here, that guys played different things and didn't have specific spots? Because the only person that really jumps to me that I think probably needs to have a specific spot would be John Metchie.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think it was a problem for Nico Collins. I think Nico Collins is the exception to the rule that I'm talking about. Like, I think Nico Collins should be treated, if we're going to use the New England Patriots offense, I think he should be treated the same way Randy Moss was. Is it's Randy. It's Nico. You put his ass wherever, if you got a deep post from the field receiver, put him at the post, put him at the field receiver, tell the field receiver to go to the boundary, get the hell out of the way. I want Nico on the post. If he wants to be a boundary receiver and be my quick outlet on a quick slants and all that kind of stuff, Nico is interchangeable. Nico can do whatever the hell he wants to. Nico is the head of the snake when it pertains to wide receivers. Now, I think where what I really like about this for the Texans is I think last year the one size fits all approach at the pass catcher position, not just the wide receiver position. I think if you look at the wide receivers, I think you can attribute a lot of the depth issues and the lack of detail into guys trying to play too many positions with too many responsibilities. Right. So I don't know that for a fact, but I know when you're asking guys to remember all four potentially positions of the wide receiver position and know them like the back of your hand and be able to remember depths and alignments and all this kind of stuff, I think you have more mental mistakes. And so I think you could pare that down and you could eliminate some of the mental mistakes. I think you look at Dalton Schultz. I've been critical of Dalton Schultz. I think Dalton Schultz is a specialty receiver. Dalton Schultz is not a hand in the dirt on the line of scrimmage, blocking kind of wide receiver. He's damn sure not a guy that you motion into the backfield and you lead up on the linebacker in a run game. He's a guy that is a specialty pass catcher and should be treated damn near like a wide receiver in the slot opposite your slot wide receiver. In fact, he would be a good version of a slot if you wanted to throw him in there in that role. I think last year the one size fits all, do I think it was a problem? Probably to some degree. Do I think a lot of offenses do it and get away with it and do it really well? Yeah, I don't think it's a you're an idiot for trying it. I'm just a bigger fan of, hey, Nico, you're going to be my boundary guy. Hey, whoever, Metchie, you're going to be my slot guy. Hey, Tank, you're going to be my field receiver, and we're going to rock and roll. And you're going to need to know the field receiver. You're the Z. You're the Z receiver. I don't need you to know what X is doing. I don't need you to know what the slot's doing. I need you to know what Z is doing, and I'm going to hold you accountable. Every route you run, the right depth, the right timing, the right angle, everything. And that's all I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to try to do all things.
I wonder if they make this decision by skill set or by look or by your size, stature, things like that. Because I wonder.
It's got to be skill set.
I was going to say, because I wonder how they would view Tank whenever Tank is healthy.
Yeah, Tank's an outside receiver. Tank's an outside receiver.
And he doesn't look like it.
Well, until he starts moving, like yeah. he can beat you with speed. He can climb the ladder and make the acrobatic catches. I think if there is one place in Tank's game, no, like seeing some of the mistakes he makes over the year and then seeing, like, knowing the system that he came from in college, the air raid system, I would imagine that it's probably better off if you limit what you ask Tank Dell to know the positions you ask him to know and just let him play fast. John Metchie, on the other hand, strikes me as the guy that would be the slot. You look at his skill set, I think it's better fit in the slot. I don't know how high of a level of processor he is. If he sees the game through the quarterback's eyes, that would be a huge plus. But to me, if you just look at these guys, you want to label them immediately, I think a field receiver is Tank Dell. I think John Metchie is a slot receiver. And I think Nico Collins is a boundary receiver. Now, again, You do with Nico what you want to do with Nico. He's got a Nico package, so we're not going to keep him there. But the other guys need to know one position and know it like the back of their hand.
Yeah, if that is the case, I totally agree. I think John Metchie is the one who would benefit a lot from this.
No question, just
playing that role of snaps. All right, coming up as we continue, T-Mill's best bets. We'll get those to you. Hey, he had a hell of a Monday now. 4 for 5, 80%. See if he can continue to make a little cash for you on Tuesday. We'll get to that. And speaking of Tyler, I'm a bit concerned for Tyler and the Fighting Tylers with what's going on. We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on the Drive.
What's up, T-Money?
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Drive is live.
Coming up in a little bit, the Drive will make you a little bit of money. At least T-Mill will. And I will take all of the credit as the Drive making you a little bit of money. And if it doesn't, it will be on T-Mill's.
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner.
As we do right there. T-Mill, he'll have his best bets coming up 4 for $5 yesterday. So stay tuned for that. Congratulations to Ronnie and Alvin, who won the tickets to see John Pardee coming up March 13th. Congratulations. Hopefully you enjoy yourself. Won't you head to one of those? What are those restaurants? What do you call those?
Restaurants? Best place to grab a meal, if you ask me.
On the way to the rodeo, man, stop at Twin Peaks.
It's not the best.
Stop at Twin Peaks, man. Little rodeo outfits. Little costume party.
And is it the best?
I mean, when you combine everything.
That's what you say, it's up there. When you say it's up there, everything, huh?
I like seeing some mountains with my meal.
Drink a Coors Light, then.
I've had a few right silver bullets.
One, walked right into that one. Okay.
What? I just got a chill, dude.
You didn't just get a chill. Everyone on YouTube and Twitch could see that you were motorboating air.
Whoa. I don't know about that.
You were. Literally. At all.
There's video evidence, boys.
Yep.
You motorboating son of a bitch.
You, did you? What, were they built for speed or for comfort?
That's right.
Built for speed or for comfort.
Yeah, I got you. Shout out to Vince Vaughn in the building.
He's a
all
thrasher.
Right. Coming up behind us. You will stay tuned to D'Amico Ryans, the head coach. He will be live on All Access. So stay tuned for that. Live from the Combine in Indy. John and Mark will have that for you. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up as soon as we get done. 7 o'clock after that. The fellas, Area 45. You know the gang. Bajani, Creighton, Santiago. Yeah. They're going 7 to 11 live and local. I'm sure they will keep you updated on that important Rockets game and the Combine and much, much more. Again, if you're just jumping in, Fred Van Fleet is out again for this game. He has not played in a while. We'll see if they can find a way to try to get a dub without him as they host the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis and Dame Lillard in town. Coming up a little bit later on today. All right. Well, if you're looking to, and I appreciate Bob Nightingale of Hotel Lobby Bobby. You're looking for somebody to really give it to you straight. I mean, not really, you know, play around with it. Give it to you straight. There was some intrigue to hearing reports over the weekend that the Astros and Cardinals have started talks back up. About trying to get Nolan Arenado here to Houston. And there have been talks about that. There was excitement about it. Here's Bob Nightingale. He was on with Area 45 just last night. This is what he had to say in terms of what he's hearing about Nolan Arenado potentially being an Astro.
Is it possible in any way Nolan Arenado may have changed his mind and now want to come to Houston?
I don't think he's changed his mind on that. I don't. And I don't necessarily think that's, you know, reunited trade talks either. I think it might have came up, but I've heard there was no, you know, talking to St. Louis people. And John Mozeliak, you know, president of baseball operations, says there's zero traction. So it doesn't look like, you know, that's going to happen at all. It would be kind of, it doesn't make real sense to for it to happen now either. You're changing everything again. It's one thing to do that with Bregman. It's another thing to do, you know, for the guy that's never played for the Astros before.
I mean, like for me, I'm like, well, damn, all right. Good night, Bobby. I mean, that might be it right there. Hell, no traction.
Bobby, put that one to bed.
It sucks to suck.
That sumbug didn't say a trusted source. My man dropped the name and the position.
Hey, he said
president
not,
of baseball operations.
He said it, or not that it's likely or it's a long shot. No, baby. Yeah, there's zero traction.
Zero traction.
What is going on?
Zero traction. He did go on to say this and talk about that he thinks what we're looking at, the roster that the Astros have right now, and of course we've seen Cam Smith and all this, but the Astros roster right now, this is potentially what they're rolling with.
So if Arenado's not on the table, is it safe to say the Astros are pretty much who they are? They're done making deals?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, if you have to make a move later on, they can. They've always addressed that later on in the season. So, I mean, that was the whole idea that, hey, Paredes supposed to hit over 30 home runs at third base. That Altuve will play in left field. We'll see how much, but he will play something left field for sure. And go up from there.
Yeah, it does seem like the next move that would be made is if they were going to do something in season, you know, coming up on the deadline.
Yeah, and that's the positive here, and that's kind of, I mean, one reason that I still feel somewhat good about the Astros window being open is I feel like as long as the needs, like when they get through, which again, I think Bob Nightingale just mentioned that they're more than likely through and this is what they're going to roll with. Like at the trade deadline, the Astros' ability and willingness to go make moves and fill voids, if you will, that's been there over the last 7 or 8 years.
I kept it real as a true professional myself.
We'll see how real you keep it, Dana, at the trade deadline.
Necessary.
You know, there's you know, hopefully there's no need. Hopefully there's some of these young guys step up and there's no
Cam.
Need. We got
Cam Smith penciled in at third base right now.
Third, huh? Well, I mean, look, I hope that, the guys that are playing, whether it's Dubon and Paredes and Christian Walker and good gosh, Chaz McCormick, can you get it together?
Didn't like what I heard from Jonathan.
That's the most painful thing we heard all day today. But, it's like on the back burner for me, like in the back of my mind, it's always, hey, man, the Astros will get aggressive at the trade deadline if need be. And so I don't know how safe that is. I don't know how healthy that is, but that's damn sure where I'm at with the Stros.
Yeah. By the way, as Tyler loves to throw in that, that Dana Brown. You think Dana? What do you think he thinks? You think he killed it this offseason?
Oh, 110%.
Today,
without
right now,
any
Cam,
doubt.
Cam Smith hitting two bombs.
Two bombs. You think he's
absolutely.
Feeling
absolutely?
He
feeling
kicked back, good. Put his hands behind his head.
Oh yeah, you think so?
Probably had some moves, peanuts.
Baby. Look at this.
Watching
baby.
Some spring is like, man. Look at what Executive. I've done.
Are y'all big ballpark peanut guys?
You know I am.
Well, he eats them like a freak.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, are you a fan or is it just at a ball game you do it?
I eat Cracker Jacks.
I mean, Ryan, you can't tell me. Why does that not surprise me?
It's in the damn song. What do you mean? Like, it's not outlandish. Like,
No, it's not.
Cracker Jacks.
I'm trying to remember
it's a kiddie song. How many 35-year-olds you know eating Cracker Jacks?
It's not weird. I've seen some Cracker Jacks. I just can't remember.
We're
the
talking about Trey and his friends, Ron.
I'm not. It's not weird. It's at the ballpark.
It's delicious.
I can't remember the last time I had Cracker Jacks though. I cannot.
Cracker Jacks.
I don't even know that I can remember what they taste like.
Oh, I can.
Heaven.
They're good.
Cracker Jacks and a ballpark wiener are a necessity for me over at the juice box, yeah, or I guess now the ice box.
More weird.
The dog is not a necessity. I know that is for a lot of people. A lot of people go out there, get me a dog with mustard. I know a lot of people do that.
I've always been
nacho. But
me too. I'm with you on that 100%.
Always been nacho. Give me that.
You risk it nachos.
And if you
now,
are a dog peppers. Guy, let's not refer to it as a wiener there, Tyler.
I mean, that's what it is.
Well, you know that's where he's going.
It's a dog.
Tasty ballpark wiener.
But no, I'm usually peanuts there, but I got to get peanuts there. But I was at Specs the other day, and they had them same peanuts that they have at the ballpark.
At Specs, huh?
Yeah. I almost picked up a bag. And
well, why didn't you? That's too expensive.
Myself. No. Shut up. Stop myself. I didn't check.
Is that my
price.
Boy Ron?
Yeah, they probably are.
You got over here closer and you saw it $5.99.
I'm telling you, man, I get in there and let
$3.99. I'm gonna be at $5.99.
I am. You're right, Tyler. I can't wait. If we get here closer and closer, to give me some. That's what I would do if I were Seth and Sean. I'd go out there, and give me some penance, give me some, give me a cold one. Have me a good time out there. You know, getting
some
the salt off that shelf.
I thought
penance,
you meant
baby.
Penance, like them little flags we used to hang on our wall when we were kids.
Penance. Penance. All right. Again, coming up behind us,
a succulent Tuesday.
D'Amico Ryans will make the Tuesday even more succulent. He will join the fellas on Texans All Access. Mark and John will have that for you. Then Area 45 coming behind that. But Tyler, T-Mill's best bet. Let's make some money for the people as you did last night.
I'm telling y'all, get some extra cash. Tell my bets.
Oh, you a punk.
Been on fire.
You a
punk.
How am I a punk?
How you ain't gonna go Luka tonight? Why are you staying away from Luka tonight?
I didn't like it. Why I didn't like anything for Luka's props.
Well, I saw 31.5. You didn't want to go after that?
I'm in the business of making the Drive family money, not rolling the dice. With Luka. Me, it's always a for sure thing. All right, real quick. Five. Real quick again, NBA bets tonight. NBA slate. Five of them once again. Suns in the first half tonight as they travel to Memphis to take on the Grizzlies. Suns plus 4.5 in the first half. Plus 4.5 in the first half of tonight's game. Then I got an over and an under for you. Celtics at Raptors tonight, over 226 in that game. Then an under, Spurs at Pelicans this evening, under 239. And then just like yesterday, two player props for you. One of them is a hometown fella, Amen Thompson with the Rockets, as they take on the Bucks, over 16.5 points. For Amen Thompson.
Like that a lot.
And then Kyrie Irving, the prop we have won quite a bit of doll hairs on this year, people. Kyrie Irving over 4.5 assists for the Dallas Mavericks as they're going to be in L.A. taking on LeBron and the Lakers. What do you like? What do you not like? The way I've been hitting, you better like all of them.
$100 on Amen Thompson,
I like
please.
That a lot. Yeah, I do too. I like that a
you
lot.
You want 100 over. On it, Ron?
No, hell no. I'm just saying I like that. I'm just doing the job of
some critiquing synergy, your bid.
The Suns one is it? They need this game. They have been on a free fall here. They're the other team in the West that's really struggling, and we'll see. They need this game against Memphis. Kyrie, that's not bad. That's not bad. I would have taken the over on that, Luka. The only thing, and I talked to Clint about this yesterday, the only thing that scares me is there's no Davis, there's no Gafford, there's no Lively.
Yeah.
They're shorthanded, and hell, they just beat they just beat Denver by 23 and set a lot in the fourth quarter. That's the only thing that holds me back, but I don't care. They didn't call Luka a fat ass and said he smokes drinks, and that's why they didn't trust to give him. They didn't cost Luka about $115 million. I just believe every time he sees that team, he is going to go in destroy mode.
Well, you see, now I'm glad I stayed away from it, though, because I was leaning under.
Oh, no.
So
no.
That was a good no play for me.
All right, Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Seth and Sean, fantastic as well. I am Ron, the show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. Why would Hooters be in a strug mission?
So here's the deal. First of all, we can all agree it's a sad-ass day anytime one of these restaurants shut down, like possibly we're about to see from Hooters. You know, declaring bankruptcy, closing those doors. That's not anything any of us want to see. So...
I knew he had it.
What?
I knew he had it.
No.
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner.